Hello and welcome to our online service. My name is Catherine and I'm part of the leadership team here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Today Tony will be bringing us God's Word, both in our online service and also in our church service at 10 a.m. in Park Avenue. We pray that you will be blessed during your time with us. I don't know about you, but I've been really enjoying watching the Olympics this week. It's been so inspiring to watch the amazing athletes at work. What I've been especially inspired by is the way that competing athletes have shown each other great support and encouragement. And it's made me think about my life as a Christian and how I can support and encourage my brothers and sisters. Thessalonians 5 verse 11 tells us, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." And now let us pray. Father God, we thank you that the Olympic Games have been able to go ahead. We thank you for the example that the athletes give us of determination and hard work, but also of encouragement and support. Lord, please help us to encourage and support one another in our Christian lives. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. Thank you for the beauty of where we live, for the houses that shelter us and the food that nourishes us. We thank you that you are always with us and hear our prayers. Today we especially pray for our new team leader, Joel, his wife, Vicky, and his children, Caleb and Faith. We pray that you will be with them as they say goodbye to their friends in Potter's Bar and move up to Whitley Bay. Lord, be with them and help keep them safe as they drive up. We pray that they will quickly settle into the manse and that they will enjoy happy times with their family in the northeast. We thank you for bringing them to our church and pray that you will richly bless them as they adjust to life here. Father, we pray for the children and young people in our church. Please bless them and be with them as they begin their groups in church again. We pray that they will enjoy being back with their friends and their leaders, and that they will feel secure and happy and excited to learn more of your love for them. We thank you that things have started to open up again, and we especially thank you that we have been able to start up our services in church. Father, we pray for those who might be feeling anxious and fearful. Help us to show them the comfort that you can bring. We pray for comfort and healing for those who are ill, and we pray for strength for NHS workers and care workers who may be feeling exhausted and overwhelmed at this time. Father God, we also pray for the people mentioned in our church bulletin, for Kate, for Tom, for Sarah Jane, for David, Lucy and Sophie, and for Ozzy. May they all know your presence and your blessing this week. And now we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Today's Bible reading is from Romans 8 and it is verses 22 to 39. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those who he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemned? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now the band is going to lead us in worship, and then Tony will bring us God's word.
Who am I that the highest King would dwell? I was lost, but he brought me into his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, always frees me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for
say I am. I am who you say I am. Good morning. I wonder if you were asked what is the best known verse in the Bible, the answer would most likely be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Then a very close second would come Romans 8:28. And I still find myself saying it from the King James Version. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For some, this verse brings great comfort and encouragement, but for others, it causes pain and anguish. Sadly, it has been used in circumstances that have caused hurt rather than healing. Quoting it to someone may have been well meant, but for those suffering greatly, it can be difficult to imagine what kind of good might arise from their heartbreaking situation. Loss, abandonment, permanent disability, suicide in the family or of a friend, or murder of a loved one. Or perhaps living in a country where rulers suppress your freedom, torture or enslave, being hit by a natural disaster, all raise the question, where is the good in that? So how do we bring out the promise and keep the hope in this verse, while acknowledging our questions and feelings? It all rests in the context from verse 18 to the end of the chapter, when considering our present sufferings. It is in how you translate this verse from the original Greek, believing that if God is for us, who can be against us? It is in the emphasis that is put on some of the words. God works, uses all things for our good. The first thing to notice is that the other translations put the emphasis elsewhere, and I believe more accurately. Romans 8:28 does not say all things are good, but God uses all things for good. So in the New International Version, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Putting God first is vitally important and matches the words, those who love him. For putting God first is what love of him means. When trouble comes, it is not that God turns up to make all things good, but that he is there from the beginning. This is not the same as that old song, Que sera, sera, whatever will be, be. God is promising he is at work in all things from the beginning, not luck, chance or blind fate. This gets rid of the happy ever afterism that says, no matter what happens, God will turn tragedy into blessing. Christians are not into fairy tales, but real life. So Corrie ten Boom, her sister died in the concentration camp. When Corrie survived and continued witnessing to the goodness of God's love in Christ. Gordon Wilson in Northern Ireland held his daughter's hand as she died in the Enniskillen bombing, then shocked everyone by refusing to hold a grudge and forgiving those who planted it. And many believe that was the turning point towards peace. This is the story of Joseph in Living in Reality Today. After all his brothers did, stripping and throwing him in a pit, selling him into slavery, resulting later in promotion as manager in Potiphar's house, then suffering false accusation and a lengthy prison sentence, and finally reaching a position of power which he could easily use to have his revenge when the brothers appeared before him. And instead he said, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God where he put me. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." He put God first, and the outcome was good for all. The Lord then never asks us to pretend that tragedy is not a tragedy, to own the pain that is real, but that he is with us working for our good. Over the unexplainable mystery, he hangs a sign, "Be still, God at work. How? We may not be sure, but to what end? Only good, never evil. You know, a child will often be afraid of the dark, but when their parent comes and holds them and says, "Don't be afraid, I'm with you now," they calm and they settle. The fear goes, but the darkness is still present. So it is with us that in the dark times of life, the knowledge that God our Father, Abba, is there makes all the difference. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God is working in love of you. This is the constant refrain of the Bible, and it's present in this chapter. Also, in the beginning God, the Bible opening, where Father God and the Holy Spirit cooperate to bring out order out of chaos, light out of darkness, life out of emptiness. And it was all very good. And then in a copycat opening in John's Gospel, he makes clear Jesus was involved in this titanic enterprise of making the universe. And in daily providences, God works, and the Apostle Paul declares that it would all fall apart without him. Just look up Colossians 1:17. From the beginning, God had you in mind, his plan and purpose to invite you to be his child at his cost. For that we praise him. He sent and gave us his only son to pay the price for our sin. Evil did all that it could to stop him, but God made good out of Jesus' death for you and for me, granting forgiveness, hope and liberty. For that we love him. The Holy Spirit came and sealed the deal, guaranteeing our life is safe in God's care all the way to heaven. In that we glorify him forever. Perhaps when trouble comes, we struggle to see how God works. The New English Bible expresses what is going on and lifts the pressure off us. The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. We do not even know how we ought to pray, but through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us. And God, who searches our inmost being, knows what the Spirit means, because he pleads for God's people in God's own way and in everything. As we know, he cooperates for good with those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So be gripped by his love. Be assured of your eternal security. Know God works, always works for love of you and in you. For God works in you the long perspective. One of the risks and dangers of a difficult time is that we will judge the end by the beginning. We need to note that God works all things together, not some things. And work together in Greek is one word, synergon, synerge. It is our word synergy. And what is synergy? It is two elements put together to form something brand new that neither could form separately. The chemist making up your prescription is most careful with the ingredients to ensure a counterbalance. Any ingredient left out or too much put in could mean a deadly poison. Together they work, alone they harm. Refuse one and the outcome may not be what you hope for. Many of the things that make no sense when seen in isolation are in fact working together to produce something good in our lives, in my life. So God takes all the experiences of your life, and in his perfect mix, they work for good. As it says in Deuteronomy 32:4, his works are perfect, and the way he works is fair and just. A God you can depend upon. No exceptions. A straight arrow God. And we know this is true if we are a Christian. It wasn't easy hearing the truth about our sins from the Holy Spirit when he put his hand upon us and spoke into our hearts. But being so convicted, though it was miserable, we then give thanks to God that he also revealed the antidote in Jesus. And the moment we agreed with God about the first, our sin, and accepted the love in the second, in Jesus, all became good and pain became joy. Above all, Romans 8:28 means that God is at work in your life, making you more like Jesus. When Paul says that all things work together for good, he's not saying that the tragedies and heartaches of the life will not come or always produce a better set of circumstances. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. We must not try to explain the unexplainable. God is committed to making you like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever it takes to make you more like Jesus is good. Whatever all things happen, God will not give up, even if we do. Whatever the worst, the hurt, the heartbreak, the sin, even when we doubt him, he is always at work. Nothing happens outside his sphere of love. There are no mistakes and no surprises. And God can do that even when we can't. God does it even when we don't believe it. And this is what Paul means when he says, we know. Not by looking at the events of life, but by knowing God. God works according to his purpose. There is one fact here which cannot be ignored. And this verse, it has a limitation. It is only true for those who love him, only true for Christians, for those who have heard the call in God's purpose and said yes. There's no middle ground. It is either yes or no. So do you love God in this way? I remember Jesus asked Peter this question, do you love me? Of course I do, came the reply. But Jesus persisted in spelling it out for Peter, feed my lambs and take care of my sheep. Why? Because loving Jesus for Peter would mean fulfilling the purpose of his calling, whatever it cost. So someone might say to me, this promise must be true for me, then I can love God in response. That just won't work. Love of God is not just gratitude for the blessings he gives, not for when he treats me good enough and then I will love him. The only way it works is to look only at him, not our experience or our circumstances, but say, I love you anyway, before he applies the promise to you. As always, Jesus is our pioneer. Look at Jesus, who gave up the safety and security of heaven, sent by God's purpose to servanthood and sacrifice. See his struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane as he looked for the good of the path lying before him, the cross. And yet, as he agonized in his love for the Father, he remained steady to the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. Look at the way God works his wrath and mercy together in Jesus on the cross in love of you. Look at the power, righteousness and hope of God worked in Jesus' resurrection for you. And when you treasure all this in mind and heart and will and say, Lord, I love you, then God can work all things for good. C.S. Lewis summed it up when he wrote this. There are two sorts of people in this world. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, thy will be done. God has put us together in this place, at this time, to be his helpers when this encouragement is needed. The young and vigorous can say it. We are who are older can build it. Let us all affirm it. So let us say this verse together again now, but from the Passion Translation, as a commitment of our faith in God and our assurance that he works together for good for us. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. Amen.
water you turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. It's through the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Water you turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. And if our God is with us, who could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, who could stand against?
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to join us in person, our services are on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on Park Avenue in Whitley Bay, and we would love to see you there. Now let's finish with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.